Welcome to the Dynasty Nerds Fantasy Football Podcast, where we discuss dynasty strategy, rankings, and all things NFL. So get ready to geek out on fantasy football with your host, Rich Dotson.
And welcome to the Dynasty Nerds Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Rich Dotson, here with my fellow nerd, Matt O'Hara.
Hello, Richard.
Matt, I'm going to need so much duct tape.
Oh my
God. Tape me down, because this is never going away.
You're actually standing.
Today is such a great day. The Browns have traded for about 30 minutes ago. The Browns traded for Odell Beckham Jr., one of the top receivers?
Receivers?
In the NFL?
Receiving football catcher guy?
Dude, Matt. Are we talking fantasy football if I tell you, Matt, listen to my starting lineup. I got Baker Mayfield. I got Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt.
Uh-huh,
I got David Njoku, Jarvis Landry, Antonio Callaway, and Odell Beckham Jr.
What?
Oh, dude, my heart. My palms have been so sweaty for 35 minutes. I can't keep up with the tweets. I can't keep up with the text. I can't keep up anything. There's only one thing I can keep up, but we're not going to talk about this. This is a family show. The Browns, dude, I told you guys when the Browns drafted Baker Mayfield, what the crystal ball showed me, that the Browns were going to win some Super Bowls. And some of you might have laughed at my balls and thought they were silly. But for those longtime listeners, they know those crystal balls, they see bright and clear. And right now, the Browns are well on their way. The odds in Vegas have already shifted. The Browns went from 20-1 to 14-1 to win the Super Bowl.
That's big time odds, man. They're shifting. They're seeing what you saw.
As a Browns season ticket holder for a very long time, and what I have sat through and seen, it's all been worth it.
Mm-hmm.
It's all been worth it because now I get to see one of the most dynamic, explosive offenses in the NFL. How many more offenses out there are really going to get you going? You know, the Chiefs.
The Kansas City Chiefs, yeah.
You gotta, are nice.
You got to love it. Got to respect
okay.
it.
Okay. They have Pat Mahomes. We got Baker. All right. They got Damian Williams and Carlos Hyde. We got Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb.
Win.
Okay.
We'll chalk that up in the W.
They got Travis Kelce. We got David Njoku.
That's them.
One for the bad guys.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
They got Tyreek Hill.
Mm-hmm.
We got Odell Beckham.
Right.
Okay. They got Sammy Watkins. We got Jarvis Landry.
Uh-huh.
Which pair are you looking at?
Those are both good pairs.
Ooh, but we got a pair of aces and they got a pair of kings.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That sounds like ours are better.
Sexy, Rexy. Look at what's going on here in Cleveland in orange and brown. It's amazing. It's glorious. I've used so much energy over the last 30 minutes talking to friends, talking to neighbors, talking to my kids, telling them this is going to be the greatest football team you've ever seen in your entire existence. And he's like, They're 9-7, but hey, you know, enjoy it now.
Exactly.
Please. You're never going to know. For them, for the next couple of years, the Browns are just always like, oh, the Browns are sweet. Yeah, of course we're sweet. We won six. Tom Brady won six Super Bowls. Baker Mayfield won seven. Of course he's the greatest quarterback of all time. That's what I said after happened after the Patriots won. What'd I say? It sucks because just one more Super Bowl Baker's got to win.
Just one more.
We got Odell here for about, 5 years? Thanks for the $20 million signing bonus in New York. Appreciate it. So today's our NFL free agency show. It's kind of hard to get past Odell Beckham going to the Browns, but looking at it from a dynasty perspective, this gives you an opportunity to move, you know, Odell on the outside, Callaway on the outside, and you can put Jarvis back in the slot where he's just dominated over the last 5 years in the NFL, more so in Miami, where he's had 100 catches every single year. So it puts him back in a better position for him to succeed, helps Njoku, opens up the run game like no tomorrow. Nick Chubb's going to have what? 2,000 yards?
Can't stop one stop.
Was that OJ Simpson or Nick Chubb?
It's going to be at least 2,000.
Minimum, right?
Minimum.
2K.
Right.
Well, Kareem's going to come in, take a little bit of that action probably coming away from there. But overall, the team's going to be amazing. Odell Beckham, I know last couple of years he's been hurt towards the end of the season. We say the best ability is availability, but everything between Odell has been literally one of the most dominant receivers in the NFL. He's right up there with Julio Jones and DeAndre Hopkins when it comes to a dominant NFL receiver. And the Browns not only got better today, they got significantly better today.
And as far as Odell's value, I mean, I think he's I think he's getting a pretty significant bump as far as the quarterback throwing him the ball. I know that obviously Baker's only done it for the 1 year, but Eli's really on the back nine of his career. Probably on
he's 20% oil for how old he is.
Yeah, he's probably on the 18th, 18th green there, putting his way home.
Matt, he's bogeyed and he's shooting again.
All right. That's not a proper golf term, but I love it.
What, shooting's not a proper golf term?
Once you've bogeyed.
I don't know. I don't play golf.
All right. Yeah, exactly. All right. but anyway, so from that standpoint, I mean, I think you can expect his numbers to at least stay stagnant as far as his fantasy production.
Oh, so 1,400 yards, 98 catches.
Yeah.
And 15 touchdowns.
Bunch of touchdowns, yeah.
Oh, dude, say it again. How many touchdowns?
A bunch.
I did it again. I just broke through the duct tape, Matt.
Just calm yourself. Calm down.
Keep talking. I got to reload.
Calm down, sir.
Can I get duct tape in bulk?
But I mean, there was, you know, transcending players like Odell Beckham, there's not going to be much value difference when they go from team to team as long as the quarterback drop-off isn't huge. But what about what do you see from the players remaining on the Giants team, like an Evan Engram or
Sterling Shepard? Huge boost to Evan Engram in my eyes. Could be arguably their number one target there in the passing game there. Definitely their red zone target. Clearly, you know, this team is shifting with the trade for Kevin Zeitler with the Browns as well, and we get Olivier Vernon too. Go with Sheldon Richardson at defensive line. It's going to be so beautiful.
Stop laughing.
But it just – that boosts up their offensive line. They want to make this – they want to make Saquon Barkley the face of the franchise. You know, you can't do that with Odell Beckham on the roster. Pat Shurmur's a dweeb, and he just wants to be like a cooker-cutter, you know, football players. And Odell Beckham does not fit his kind of football player. So they want to make this a run-first team with Saquon Barkley, which if you own Saquon, things just got way better.
More targets,
you know, for Eli as he takes his one-and-a-half-step drop back and has to get rid of the football because his one-and-a-half-step drop back is just too slow. So they're going to dump it off to Saquon that way. But it helps Evan Engram. You know, Evan Engram is somebody we already liked a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Had a step back last year, but still going to be a nice target there. Came out a little bit stronger towards the end of the year. And Sterling Shepard. Sterling Shepard going in the last year of his contract has been, we've talked about Sterling before. He's a consistent wide receiver three that's just kind of undervalued. He falls in that category of somebody you could start on a week-in, week-out basis as your wide receiver three who doesn't really get a lot of love and now moves into the limelight. Should be heavily targeted there as well. You have to worry about a little bit more coverage, but you have to assume that they're going to bring somebody else in here at receiver.
No, I do. But I think the key point that you made there that I'm not even sure that you knew that you made was Evan Engram came on at the end of the year. It just so happened to coincide with the fact that Odell Beckham was injured at the end of the year. I'm looking at the numbers, and you know it's pretty consistent when Odell Beckham wasn't there. Evan Engram scoring double-digit fantasy points. So, I mean, you can expect at least 10 points a game from Evan Engram on a pretty consistent basis. And there were games where he was up there 15, 17, 20, 21 area while Odell Beckham was gone towards the end of this past year. And even, you know, if you look at the numbers from 2017 when Odell was gone in Evan Engram's rookie year, he did really well also.
Yeah, I had talked about how Evan Engram could have possibly been my tight end one going into this previous year of 2018, and obviously it fizzled a little bit. Some guys took jumps like George Kittle, but Evan Engram was right back up there.
Yeah,
in my eyes, he's, you know, if in a startup draft tight end premium, I'd let somebody else take. We said the same thing about George Kittle, right? I let somebody else take a guy like Travis Kelce, and I'll wait on George Kittle. Mm-hmm. Well, now I think it also moves right along to the point of, hey, let somebody else take Travis Kelce. Let somebody else take Zach Ertz. If you miss out on Kittle, he's right there at number four. But in my eyes, if you're ranking tight ends, yeah, you have Ertz and Kelce up there as obviously one and two.
Right. Yep.
But for me in a startup draft, I'd have it Kittle and then I'd have it Evan Engram. That's where I would be looking personally. Travis Kelce, last couple of years, been extremely healthy. Before that, he has been banged up a little bit, had to clean up on the ankle this year, about to be 30.
Right.
Getting up there in age. I'm not going to invest that high of a pick in a tight end premium and a guy like that when I can get Evan Engram and George Kittle. It's just not going to happen. So that drops him down a little bit. Almost takes him off the board just from where he's going to get drafted for me. This is startup value. And same thing with Ertz, with the emergence of, we talked about this 100 times, but Goddard out there. They bring DeSean Jackson out there as well now. They're going to run two tight end sets. To me, Zach Ertz is somebody that eventually with his cap number, they're eventually going to get out from under and just roll with Goddard.
And I think it was the combine when I was watching. And they were discussing Dallas Goedert and the fact that the coaching staff's one of their main missions in the offseason was to figure out ways to get that guy the ball more.
So I saw that.
I'm pretty sure it was the combine when I was watching that. It was where I heard that report.
So just catch my breath.
It's one of those things where there definitely is going to be a little bit of a change in the guard, and we both love Dallas Goedert going forward. So
yeah, we were talking about that earlier. I had a buddy text me who's just started playing Dynasty and assessing rookies. Like, hey, how do I assess rookie? Just like where they land and spark scores? I'm like, no, talent and opportunity. That's where you really want to look at your rookies. Number one, being talent, but opportunity coincides with that. I was like, for example, last year we had Dallas Goedert as our number one rookie tight end coming into it. Then he got drafted by the Philadelphia Eagles. He's behind Ertz. For us, that just drops him down just a little bit. Hindsight, we should have dropped him down as far as we did, which is foolish on our half, right. But we did.
Yeah, I mean, I went out and made some trades for him as well, like later on in the season.
It should have been a perfect buy low opportunity.
Yep.
So I think this is really good. So if I'm looking here for buys, I'm looking to buy, obviously, Evian Browns is just skyrocketed, right? That price has just gone up significantly here. But I'm really looking at trying to see if I can get Evan Engram and Sterling Shepard on my roster. I expect the Giants, if they don't trade up now, to use pick 17 on a receiver, maybe a guy like Hakeem Butler, possibly, so, somewhere on those lines. I see them.
Yeah, right.
Somewhere even high in the second round, AJ Brown. Or maybe they just wait because it's so deep at receiver. They do wait to the second round, which they had the sixth pick in the second round for a receiver and move up there. Now they have an extra third round pick as well. But definitely look for the Giants to grab a guy.
Yeah, is this something that they're just trying to get as much ammunition as possible to go get a quarterback?
Listen, every team should do what Sashi Brown did and what the Cleveland Browns did. Treat it like a damn dynasty team, right? If you want to build a dynasty, what do we say all the time? Don't get stuck in the middle. Take that thing down to the studs and reboot it. And that's exactly what Sashi Brown did and the Browns did. They took it, and they took a team, and they made it absolutely terrible for 2 years. Got two really good first overall picks, made a couple trades, got some extra first-round picks, and they rebuilt it. And here we are 3 years later, Matt, after going 1-15 and 0-16 as legitimate Super Bowl contenders. That's how you want to build your dynasty team. You want to do a quick turnaround. I mean, last year you get all these picks. You come away with a guy like Saquon Barkley and a couple other good players here. And the year before that, these are two back-to-back drafts. You could have two really good building foundations, have a really good caliber team to compete for championships. The Browns did it like dynasty owners should do it. Take it down to the studs, build it back up. Look at us now. Top of the world, Mom. Top of the world.
Top of the world.
We got Odell Beckham.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the big thing is here, receivers don't really define a Super Bowl caliber team. It's not nobody's ever won a Super Bowl because they had the best receiver ever.
You gotta have an all-around team at this point in the game.
But you do win it with a guy named Baker Mayfield.
Ooh.
Dude, I really think I'm going to get my vasectomy reversed just so I have another son to name Baker.
Oh, God.
Because I really tried to legally change my son's names, and my wife just will not let me do it.
She won't let you do it, huh?
I don't know. She's being so selfish.
That's crap. I mean.
And they're my kids, too, right?
Right.
I mean, at least, let's not do it Baker and Mayfield, but can we just change one of them to Baker?
I mean, it's not like they're in high school or anything yet. I mean, they're still young enough, I think you could pull that swing.
Yeah, the one's 6 years old, he's about to be 7. You think I remember?
Right, exactly.
I'm just going to start calling Baker.
You just have to go informal. You have to go, not legally change his name. Start calling him Baker.
As we get off the Browns here.
If you want, I can start calling him Baker too. And then
do
it. Eventually.
How about the Dotson family cause here?
Yeah.
As we get off of Baker here, I mean, I'm extremely, extremely excited.
It turns out there was another trade, right?
What?
The Antonio Brown trade.
But we're talking about the porn trades.
Oh, all right.
Sorry. So Antonio, yeah. So there's so much. I was actually going through a lot of my notes here when the news broke.
Mm-hmm.
So all my notes are I'm sorry. Like, I'm not as prepared as I should be for this podcast.
You should have seen him when I arrived at his house. Just standing up, couldn't sit down, bouncing back and forth, smile from ear to ear.
I can't We can't. Let's just go on. Let's move on. I can't even put into words how excited I am. So Antonio Brown gets traded to Oakland.
Oakland.
And we still don't know where Le'Veon's going, if he's going to go there. They still need a running back out there. To me, where does this put – you know, they pay him that guaranteed money, which means he's going to be around. They're going to go to Vegas. They're going to have a nice stadium there as well. I don't think this shifts, for me, Antonio Brown's value. And I don't really care about, oh, well, you know, Amari didn't do anything until he left. Okay, that's fine. A big people got to remember, too, like, I love Amari. Mm-hmm. Loved him coming out. We talked about the drops were an issue. But a big problem with Amari, too, was his drops.
It was.
In Oakland. It wasn't necessarily Derek Carr.
No, I don't think it was Derek Carr. And you know, you look at guys like, even like Jordy Nelson, started off slow there. But towards the end of the year, Jordy Nelson actually was playing well. And you could have started him pretty confidently, I think, there at the, like, weeks 12, 13, 14, you know, like right through your playoffs if you needed him. And that kind of speaks to, I think, John Gruden's offensive scheme. He likes veteran players because he's very cerebral. He wants his players to know what the heck is going on. So might there be a little bit of an adjustment period for Antonio Brown where at the beginning of the year he's not getting the numbers you had hoped? It's possible, but I think he's going to round into form, and I think by the end of next year, or probably middle to end of next year, you're going to start seeing regular Antonio Brown.
I don't think
it's going
to take that long, Matt. I really don't. I think he tweeted out today he's going to go out and train, play with Carr today and train with him.
He already was. Yeah,
he was already going to do that today. Yep. You know what he did? I didn't like the way Antonio Brown went about his business and how he did that, the way he just threw players under the bus. I just didn't like it. I don't like the precedent set or anything, but he's one of the best receivers of all time. And one thing you did hear out of Pittsburgh week in, week out is, yeah, was Antonio Brown selfish and he not a good teammate? Yeah, but he worked extremely hard at his craft.
No, he's a very hard worker.
And he's coming back here in Oakland with a vengeance. Like, he's going to come here to prove, like, he's going to come to prove a point. You know what I mean?
I totally agree. But I think the system itself might just be, I just think it's a difficult system to get into. I don't think it's one of those things where it's a plug and play type of thing. So I just think it could be a little bit of a slow start is all I'm saying.
I disagree.
Temper your enthusiasm for those early year numbers.
100 catches, 1,300. He's going to be peppered. Here's the thing with Antonio too. What you got to remember, he was the reason his number, I mean, he is great, but he was just peppered with targets in Pittsburgh, like nonstop. Antonio. Even with Juju there, he still was heavily targeted.
Oh, yeah,
there.
Right.
Now with no Juju, you know, no big dog, stiff arm Vance McDonald, you know, to back you up here, he again, once again, is just be peppered with targets. And he's got the ability to get open by himself.
He does. He can beat double teams. I mean, it's not like it's anything new for him.
So from a fantasy perspective, anybody that bought low on Antonio Brown probably still got themselves a good deal. In the way he plays, even though I know he's 30, he's the type of player that you still have as a quality fantasy starter for the next 3 years.
All I'm saying is, if he starts off a little slow, don't jump ship.
Bye. We'll talk about it.
Definitely.
Season in August.
Just don't jump ship if he starts off a little slow.
I mean, he's no Odell Beckham, but move on. And you'll never hear me say, oh, you know, my kids ask me, they're like, Dad, is Odell the best receiver in the league? And I said, son, no, he's not. But he's one of them. Want to know why? Because DeAndre Hopkins is the best receiver in the NFL. I don't want anybody to tell. This doesn't change anything.
I gotcha.
Nuke is still number one. I love you, OBJ. I called my buddy. I was like, I need an Odell jersey, like, right away.
Yeah. Clearly.
Once that number clears.
Yep.
So Antonio Brown to Oakland helps Derek Carr, as long as they keep Derek Carr. Let's see what they do at running back. Let's see what other receivers they put on to offset him. Let's see if they can bring back Jared Cook even. I mean, let's see something else on that offense, because right now it's just Derek Carr and Antonio Brown.
And they're spending a lot of money in other places. I mean, obviously, they spent some money on the offensive line. They spent a little bit of money on the defense. So, I mean, honestly, I know they have a ton of cap space, but like we were talking on the last free agency podcast, it's cash that you have to worry about there for Oakland, like actual physical money.
That's the rumor.
So we'll see how, if they have enough to even shell out.
Cash
for
makes the
Bell.
World go round, son.
Right.
And I was having a terrible day today because I got my business account got hacked.
Yeah.
Last night, and I got $10,000 stolen from me.
Yeah, that's not good.
Like some Nigerian prince was mad I didn't sign up for his like
Is scam?
Is scam.
Yeah.
So they scam you right back.
Oh, jerks.
Maybe it was somebody that didn't like the podcast. Listen, buddy, just unsubscribe. Don't nobody steal my money. I'll get the money back, but it takes 10 days.
Yeah. It's a lot of money to have held for 10 days.
That's a lot of money. Mm-hmm. You know what I could buy for $10,000? A Super Bowl ticket in Miami to watch the Cleveland Browns play. But I'll have my money back by then.
Yes,
I'll be there. 100%, Matt. Let's talk about some more free agents, shall we?
Sure, let's do it.
Do you know the Browns traded for Odell Beckham?
Yeah, I've heard.
Let me clean this mess up real quick.
Good.
Oh, all cleaned. Going to the quarterback situation, Nick Foles signs the Jacksonville Jaguars. We weren't really sold that was going to happen. We were wrong. Not only does he sign there, Matt, 4 years, $88 million with $50 million guaranteed.
Well, I mean, they had negative cap space just a couple weeks ago, but they did what I said they had to do. They had to clean up a lot of their defensive linemen.
$30 million in
exactly,
four moves,
exactly.
And they're going to get Blake Bortles off the books.
And they're
going to
get Blake Bortles off the books, so they'll clear about another $19 million or so there. So they had the flexibility to do it. There's always ways around cap situations. I mean, as long as you're cutting guys or moving money, there's a lot of ways to make up cap space. Not a surprising move. Obviously DeFilippo was his quarterback coach in Philadelphia.
And Nick Foles is 30, which isn't crazy old. I'm just worried about this whole Nick Foles going to a different system to be the guy.
Well, the good thing is, that's what I was saying, DeFilippo was his quarterback coach there in Philadelphia.
True.
So DeFilippo is now the offensive coordinator there for the Jags, and I think that's going to make the transition a little bit better. But from what I've seen him, Nick Foles, he's good in small spurts, and he's not a consistent guy over the course of a full year. So, obviously they think they got their guy. They gave him 4 years, $88 million, and they think he's their quarterback for the future. I'm not sold either. I think I'm there with you. I think it does give a temporary boost for some of those.
I think it helps Leonard Fournette a little bit more. It does
help some of
the
wide receivers. I think he's a better quarterback than Blake Bortles.
We look at D.D. Westbrook, Marquise Lee, Keelan Cole you got D.J. Chark out there. I think D.D. Westbrook out of those guys is really good.
Don't just sweep D.J. Chark under the rug.
I know you love him. I just wish I would have saw a little bit more. I don't jump down on receivers right away.
Right.
I think Keelan Cole is a little bit of a hindrance to him, definitely earlier in the year. But when they start to get away from Cole a little bit, I would like to see a little bit more. But at the same time, when you got Blake Bortles out there, I know that's hard. I think the best buy here on the come is going to be D.D. Westbrook. If somebody's going to really benefit from here, I think D.D. Westbrook could be a nice, sneaky guy to really take a big step forward here in the 2019 season with Nick Foles delivering the ball. I still think they're going to go back to their original game plan, though, too, and not bring Nick Foles in to be, the messiah here, but to really use Leonard Fournette as their ground-and-pound guy here. I think a lot of people are really down on Leonard Fournette. I think a lot of people would love to get out from under him. Hell, we said with that ankle for 2 years in a row, get out from under him.
Right.
But if he can somehow get past that ankle injury, if he just really devoted his whole offseason to figuring out how to bolster up that ankle injury, do some ankle workouts, right?
Sure.
Those are real, right?
Uh-huh.
Ankle workouts?
Ankle workouts.
You know what you say if you have fat ankles?
I don't.
You're probably going to be pretty fat.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's a lot of, you can tell a lot by the ankles, I guess.
Okay.
True story.
Well, Leonard Fournette's got apparently some very skinny and fragile.
Dude, look at these puppies right here. What are those?
They look skinny.
Yeah, there's not much meat on there. No. If we crashed a plane crash and you had to eat meat to survive, don't start at the ankles.
Don't start at the ankles. That's nothing.
Yeah, I got chicken legs.
True statement.
No chicken nugs come on these bad boys.
Nope.
All bone, baby. So to me, I think, if Leonard Fournette is still, he falls in that category as well. Big F, if the ankle could stay healthy, but if he does, very good chance another very dominant fantasy football player, dynasty player, only 24 years old, 23 years old.
I'm not sure the exact date on him.
Other quarterbacks here, Teddy Bridgewater stays in New Orleans, 26 year old, going to be the heir apparent to Drew Brees.
Was it a 2 or 3 year? It was a 2 or 3 year deal.
I didn't even see it. I don't think they even said it yet.
Oh,
what it is.
Okay.
But he declined another offer for somewhere else.
It was Miami.
For Miami.
Yeah. Miami was going to give him more money and he declined that to stay there and be the backup slash heir apparent to Drew Brees.
To be the guy. And Sean Payton's offense with Michael Thomas and everything else they're going to build with Michael Thomas, Teddy Bridgewater going into the year is a nice buy low and a super flex.
I was going to say, assess that super flex because, I mean, obviously he's going to be a stash guy. Is it like, hey, if you have Drew Brees, go out there and try to get him? Or is it one of those things where you can try to go out and get him no matter what?
I think if I had a Drew Brees, I'd like to go get him. In a super flex, I'm getting him no matter what. As long as you have the patience to be on there. Because, I mean, Drew Brees has got...
It could be 2 or 3 years.
It could be one more year. Honestly.
Could. I mean, it could be.
If the Saints somehow go to the Super Bowl and lose to Baker Mayfield this year, then he might just be like, you know what? There's no coming back from this. Like, there's no way. This is
the
next.
This is the new blood. Yeah. Is here.
Like, I'm not going to lose to Baker every single year.
I'm not going to be able to lose to myself from 15 years ago, for the next 10 years. You know what I mean? It's just not going to be good.
Impossible. So let's talk about some running back signings here, Matt.
I wanted to mention before we got off the quarterbacks the Case Keenum trade. So he went from Denver to Washington.
Was that beforehand? Did you ever talk about that?
No.
It was recently?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So that just happened. Got anything for that? I mean, obviously in Superflex, he becomes a viable, at least, guy to have as a second quarterback.
Viable. Should help Chris Thompson out some here, even though I know they're talking about Darius Geis. They want him to catch more balls, too. I believe it when I see it. I know he showed it, but I still think Chris Thompson's more viable there. Whoever the Washington slot receiver is who you're going to want to own there in Washington.
Yep.
It's cut and dry. Yeah. He targets the slot receiver on 25% of his passes.
And he's getting back to a West Coast offense, which obviously he had some success in there in Minnesota, so that'll be nice. I mean, obviously he was in West Coast last year as well.
When we find out who Washington slot receiver is locked in, then he will be a viable, great buy-low candidate.
Right.
So, as soon as we know – who the slot receiver is in Washington for this year, buy him.
And obviously it's not Jameis Crowder because he moved on.
Exactly.
So
here's a running back you should check your waiver wires for. Mike Davis, former Seattle Seahawk running back.
Mm-hmm.
I checked one of my leagues. I went through all my leagues. He's on a waiver wire in one league.
Wow.
I can't pick anybody up because it's closed in that league. They haven't even switched over to 2019 in MFL. But Mike Davis, interesting signing here for the Chicago Bears, former Seattle Seahawk here. Mike Davis gets signed. He's only 26 years old. 2 years, $6
million. $6
million. Matt, that's $3 million a year if you take the six and divide it by a two,
right,
which is $1 million more than Jordan Howard's going to make.
Huh.
A lot of rumors coming out here that they've been trying to trade Jordan Howard.
It's almost like I said that Jordan Howard doesn't fit his offense.
Doesn't fit his offense at all. Why doesn't he fit his offense, Matt?
Because he doesn't catch passes.
Why not?
Because he's got horrible hands.
The worst hands in the NFL. And when you bring Mike Davis in, he's a really good complement to a guy like Tariq Cohen.
Yes, he is.
Davis is, another bruising running back. He's somebody coming off a career year when he finally gets a lot of carries out there in Seattle in 2018. He had last year, he got his biggest workload, 112 carries for 514 yards, which is good for 4.59 yards per carry, which was a career high for him. He had 34 catches for 214 yards. So 34 catches were a career high for him as well. 5 touchdowns. And that was mostly as the third down back there in Seattle as well. And he kind of beat out Rashad Penny there for the number 2 role behind Chris Parks in their first round pick. That says a lot. You know what I mean? When you could beat out a first round pick to be the guy there. Comes in. We all know Cohen last year, 71 receptions, 1,169 all-purpose yards from scrimmage. And it looks like they're going to move on from Howard here. So we have a situation where in that offense, Matt Nagy's offense, and what they're doing there in Chicago, this is a really good scheme fit. And we talk about this all the time where when we're looking for fantasy production, we're looking for not only talented players, but scheme fit and opportunity. We mentioned earlier, opportunity. This is a really good opportunity for Davis. Really good opportunity. Now, I didn't see the numbers on guaranteed numbers. I don't know if there's anything guaranteed, honestly.
I think a lot of these numbers that are getting floated around at this point aren't set in stone. So the guarantees and a lot of the details of the contracts haven't really come out because, obviously this is the tampering, the legal tampering period. It's not like the official.
You see some of those. I haven't seen anything on Davis. I even went on Sport Track. I looked up everything. I couldn't sign it. I just know it's 2 years, $6 million.
Right.
Davis, again, Matt Nagy always wants to have the option to get the ball in the running back's hand. He likes to quick, there's nothing there. Dump it off the quarterback. That's where he sets up his running back. Mike Davis only dropped 2 footballs last year out of his 44 targets. So he's somebody that's going to trust and fit that scheme really, really well. If he's on your waiver wire, of course you pick him up.
Right.
But if you're really desperate for a running back, right, like you need, maybe you need that running back three because you have two quality guys but nobody behind them, and you're a championship caliber team, you know anybody's going to be there late, you could probably get Mike Davis for a high third.
It should be pretty cheap because obviously, I mean, he's had an up and down roller coaster kind of like the past 2 years where he was up. I mean, obviously, whoever has them picked him up the waiver wire a couple of years ago when he showed up on Seattle's radar a little bit. So I think he could definitely be had for cheap. I mean, I don't know if a third will get it done at this point.
I don't think it would either, but this is a situation I'm thinking about. I offer my third this year, and then in my 2020 draft, I offer a fourth.
Sure.
Right? A third and a fourth. Or like the third this year is not necessarily meaningless, but it's going to be pretty irrelevant. A fourth next year might be a little bit more relevant, but it's still a fourth and it's still pretty irrelevant. I don't care how deep the class is.
Right. If you get something out of if you ship off a third and fourth in years for a player that you get something out of for those 2 years, that's money well spent in my eyes.
Yeah. So I'm trying to make that happen. If somebody came at me, okay, say you do that and you do need a running back, is the upside worth it here? If somebody came back, let's say you had to, say you finished in second, mm-hmm. right? And it's because Melvin Gordon got hurt and you're just screwed there. Or you had Todd Gurley and he missed time and you only had two running backs. Would Mike Davis, on upside here, going just in the next, it's probably a short-term deal here. He's only 26, though. And remember, Jordan Howard wrote this short-term into 3 years of availability here in Chicago. Would you consider Mike Davis to be a sneaky, very late 11th pick in the second round? Worthy?
Right on the board.
And
of
I
where
know
I feel
it seems like an overpick, but there's going to be no running back there. That's really like, I mean, any running back you take there is going to be a really long shot to help you out and most likely need an injury to even help out your team. Where right now it's looking like Mike Davis is going to be the guy there in Chicago. I know it's not as clear as day right now, but he's going to be the guy there in Chicago.
First of all, we're really early in this. This is none of this is official. As we've seen with the Breshad Perriman signing and then an Odell Beckham trade, Breshad Perriman wants out of Cleveland now. This isn't official. Let's say I've heard rumors that Le'Veon Bell might be connected with Chicago. So what happens if all of a sudden they come out as this crazy dark horse? They get Le'Veon Bell, and then all of a sudden Mike Davis is, you know, out the door and go somewhere else. So, I mean, a lot can change, but if he does end up there in Chicago, That's when you make the offer.
Because you're going to get rid of Jordan Howard. They're paying him $1 million more than Jordan Howard. You don't bring him in for more money than you're paying Jordan Howard if you plan on using Jordan Howard.
They tried to trade him the whole time they were at the combine. Nothing.
Like a dynasty league, Matt. Yeah, you want Jordan Howard? No.
Yeah, nothing happened. Now they're going out and getting this guy, but they can't get rid of Jordan Howard until they officially have signed other people. So they're going to wait. You know, this I would assume just that as soon as officially they have a couple of other bodies on the team that they're going to cut Jordan Howard.
Yeah, I mean, you can't get rid of Blake Bortles until you officially sign Nick Foles.
Right.
Then you might trade Nick. I mean, you probably get.
And they might.
What if they trade in the Oakland for a 7th-round pick?
Right.
And or swap 7
And that's
picks.
What they might be holding out, and that's maybe why
you $2 million cap hit to Oakland. They have the money. They don't sign Le'Veon Bell. They don't have cash, but they got cap room. So a guy like Jordan Howard, maybe they bring him in, and they put a restricted free agent, restricted tender on a guy like Jalen Richard. So you kind of go right back to that model of Jordan Howard and Tre' Cohen to Jordan Howard and Jalen Richard. That's a fit that I see. More so than any other team would be like something like the Raiders. I don't think Philly's a fit at all, but that's where I would see him fitting in.
No, Philly wants a guy that can catch the ball also.
Yeah.
So it's the same offense. They want a guy that can catch the ball.
So Mike Davis, if he signs for sure, you think a very late second round. Like you still try the third and fourth, right? But if it doesn't work, he tells you to kick rocks. I know it's hard to pull. Matt, I would pull the trigger on it.
All right.
I would gamble.
I'd be on the fence on that.
On a 1 year trying to win the ship, if I was needy at running back, right, we say all the time, don't be afraid to go all in. I don't think a late 2019 second in this year's draft class, if you need running back help, is going to help you at all. You gamble on the first. You can gamble with your number 11 in the first round, but in the second round, there's going to be nothing there to really help you. I'm telling you that now at running back. Nothing.
No, but you can maybe use that second to move yourself up in the first round. And actually,
or you just move your second and get a starting running back in Mike Davis in Chicago in a really good on-up offense. And then once
agree to disagree.
And think about this. Here's where you might need a roll of duct tape for yourself, right? Tariq Cohen, what if Tariq Cohen goes down?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's definitely possible. The guy's 160 pounds or something.
Then Mike Davis is going to catch 65 footballs.
Theoretically, yeah. He could be the Damian Williams of...
Now, we do a podcast on fantasy football. Everything's theoretically that we talk about. I have crystal balls, for the love of God.
Okay? Those are real, man. We're here.
People are here for us to give us our opinion and predict in the future. That's the whole point of this show.
And that's why I'm just... I don't have a clear view of Mike Davis. I'm a little iffy on him.
You know, it's been a while. Hold on.
Oh, God. Balls out here.
Ugh. Oh, here they are. Oh, it's been a while. Still looking succulent.
Dust those things off.
Let me rub these up.
Oil them, too, or something.
Is that Odell Beckham on the Browns? Oh, my God. Matt, the Browns traded for Odell Beckham.
Oh, my God. Control yourself.
He's hosting the Lombardi Trophy.
Control yourself.
That a trophy? That's not the. That's the Lombardi Trophy. Oh, hold on, I gotta sit back down.
Weren't we talking about something?
I know, but just the first thing I saw. All right. The balls know me very well.
I know.
Sweet balls, you've never stared me wrong. Where Mike Davis finished the 2019 season as a fantasy football running back. Running back number 19. Hey.
That's not bad.
That's pretty good.
That's real good.
Let's see. Take minus 12. We'll leave you 7. So running back 2, number 7.
I'll take it then.
That's championship caliber.
Sign me up for that second round pick if that's going to happen.
Matt.
I'm on board.
Matt,
then.
I'm just telling you what I'm seeing here. All right. Okay, where will Mike Davis be in 2020 season?
Off the roster.
Running back 36. That's still not terrible. I mean, you know, low-end running back 3. But 2019, you're going to be in it to
Jackpot.
Win it, right?
Jackpot.
Make the move. Let's talk about some more moves here in free agency when it comes to running back. A lot of guys haven't, you know, Tevin Coleman hasn't signed yet. People are probably waiting on that.
I was going to say, I think a lot of people are waiting on Le'Veon Bell to sign.
Mark Ingram likely going to the Ravens right now, which I think would suit him really well on a team that's really going to need a guy like him to establish Lamar Jackson, somebody that's really ground and pound that football.
I think it's a nice place, yeah.
I think that'd be nice. Latavius Murray signs with the Saints there in New Orleans. 4 years, $14 million. Fits their system. All right, for what they want to do. Here's the thing. It's Alvin Kamara's show.
Right.
Right?
That confirms to me even further that they're just looking for a body kind of behind Kamara. Somebody to take 5, maybe 10 carries a game, and that'll be it. I mean, 4 years, $14 million. So it's
Let's
not,
see the guaranteed numbers.
I was going to say, this smells like it's going to be like a one-year deal, and he's going to be gone next year, and they're just going to cut bait.
Carlos Hyde signs 1 year for $2.8 million in Kansas City. So they have Damian Williams on a super cheap contract. They have Carlos Hyde here on a super cheap contract. I think, you know, again, we said this before. Say we told everybody to sell Damian Williams a week ago, 2 weeks ago. Like, sell him for what you, you know,
right.
Do it. You know, they're big Hyde in here. Hyde is going to affect Damian Williams. I don't think Damian Williams is the greatest pure runner out there. I like his ability in the passing game.
Well, he came over, you know, from Miami, and he was used almost exclusively as a pass catching back out of the backfield. So
I see them drafting a guy, Matt. Like,
yeah,
it's gonna be the same situation. They're gonna draft a guy, and he's gonna end up being the guy, and both these guys are gonna become somewhat of relevant.
I agree with that sentiment.
If this gives any boost to Carlos Hyde, I mean, Hyde is only 28, but I mean, his days are really getting numbered here. I'm trying to sell him to the Damian Williams owner for
anything. You can get.
Literally anything.
Yeah.
Third, hopefully. I would try and get a third in 2020. I'd hedge my bet to the future. I'd say, hey, you got Carlos Hyde. Why not own, before the NFL draft, clearly, but say, why not own the entire Kansas City offense and just win your entire league that way?
Low price.
You're guaranteed, if Damian goes down, to have the number one fantasy running back, dude. It's only a third round pick in 2020. It's not even this year, okay? You might not even be alive here in 2020, so you don't know what's going to happen. Come on. Take it. Give me the third.
Come on.
You want Lopes? Take it.
Just hit accept.
I said, take the damn pick. So, offload, right? The Damian Williams owner.
Definitely.
If you're a Damian Williams owner, well, let's see what happens after the NFL draft.
So, the old get older in Buffalo, huh? Signing a Frank Gore there for a one-year, $2 million contract goes from, you know, LeSean McCoy.
Still got that tread.
Old to super old Frank Gore here going back and forth. So.
I mean, here's the thing, though, too. They beefed up the offensive line here in free agency for Buffalo and through the draft. So the offensive line is looking pretty good. Let's mention they also bring in Cole Beasley and John Brown as well. I know we're just talking about running backs, but while we're on Buffalo, we might as well hit these guys as well. They beefed up the offensive line. You got Josh Allen there. I don't think Frank Gore is really going to be.
Well, don't forget about Tyler Kroft also.
They also signed Tyler Kroft. Yeah. Right. All the Bengals tight ends get signed. Yep. CJ Uzuma gets signed. Mm-hmm. Tyler Kroft gets signed, but none of those guys really move my needle too much. You know, they all had their opportunity last year, even with AJ Green going down, an opportunity to step up and be a guy. And I know CJ Uzuma on all of them kind of made himself mildly fantasy relevant. Tyler Kroft at one point has made himself mildly fantasy relevant.
Just catching touchdowns. He was very touchdown dependent.
Josh Allen's going to pull the Cam Newton effect. He's going to be rushing for a lot of those touchdowns.
I totally agree. Yep. Don't get sucked in too much by that.
Cole Beasley doesn't excite me at all. I don't know. Kerry got the money. Josh Allen's going to overthrow him out of the slot. What does get me excited is a guy like John Brown, right?
Okay. Right.
John Brown runs a 4.34. Nobody threw more over 15 yards in the NFL last year than a guy like Josh Allen. For 28% of his passes were over 15 yards.
And obviously he's got the big arm. Yeah.
Yeah, so this is really good news for a guy like John Smokey Brown who can get out there and get deep. And he got decent money out there, 4.34 runner. He's going to be looking for him, going deep, look for that nice best ball player, but still now becomes that fantasy-relevant player again, John Brown, who started the season off real hot last year and then completely faded out to nothing towards the end.
I mean, you got
to. But that was with Lamar Jackson.
Right, you got to give it to John Brown. I mean, I think he knows what he is. I think he knows that he's pretty much a deep threat. So, I mean, obviously he signed with Baltimore thinking Flacco's going to be throwing the ball and he gets released and he immediately leaves to probably arguably the guy with the strongest arm in the NFL at this point in Josh Allen. And that's what he is. He's a deep threat. I don't see huge numbers coming from the guy.
No, but he can be. Again, go back to him and Flacco early of the 2018 season. John Brown was extremely fantasy relevant. John Brown's the kind of player where he only needs to catch 3 balls a game.
Right. Because
for 84 yards, 90 yards, and then a touchdown. With Josh Allen's arm and the way that team's structured, I think John Brown's going to be a nice, you know, possibly low-end wide receiver 3 here for this season and going forward, Josh Allen. I think they fit each other perfectly.
I think they do as well. Yep.
So that moves my needle.
Out of their signings, and they had a lot today, that one probably is the nicest.
So I like that move there. Cole Beasley, don't like that move there at all, honestly. Right.
Let's move on to a different team here. What do you think about the Devin Funchess one-year, $10 million signing there in Indy?
It's like the Dante Moncrief sign-in. It's
okay. I mean, I think he adds an element that they don't have.
He's really young.
He's 24, right? Yep.
It does add an element they don't have, which is really nice.
Does this affect, like, Eric Ebron's, any of his value there as a touchdown type of guy? Because he was pretty much their only, like, big target going throughout the year.
I think it's still going to be still there for touchdowns for Odell. I mean, for Ebron, I'm more worried about actually, you know, Jack Doyle coming back fully healthy to affect Ebron. Or do they get rid of Jack Doyle this offseason? To me, Funchess, does it move the needle? I mean, they give him $13 million, but they also have the cap space, right? He gets to play in a dome. He gets to play with Andrew Luck, who's a just overall better, more talented thrower than Cam Newton. T.Y. Hilton's still going to be the guy. You mentioned Ebron. They can get away with two tight end sets. They still have Nyheim Hines and Marlon Mack there as well. I think Funchess is just going to be...
He is going to be what he is, right? I mean, so he's going to be a low-end...
Mid-range wide receiver three, like a small boost of wide... But it's on a one-year deal, right?
Right.
So then I want to see where he goes in 2014. He's not a long-term investment to me.
I was thinking he's more of like a wide receiver four, somebody that you don't want to be starting every week, but you can spot start him.
I think luck helps him tremendously. I think that offense can help him a lot. But again, I want to see what he does. I mean, if he comes out and he blows up, then he'll get an extension there in Indy, and that's the way you should do free agency, right? You sign him to the short term deal, a little bit more. You pay a little bit more for the 1 year than you would for the a little bit less in the long term, but just give yourself some options down the road. Funchess for me is, I know like he came on a little bit, you know, for there in Carolina, but he still has a drop rate, right? He drops a lot of footballs. Mm-hmm. Is Andrew Luck going to tolerate that, you know, before he just looks somewhere else when he has a guy like T.Y. Hilton? Can't underestimate still Chester Rogers moving out there into the slot as being a viable option there for them as well.
Sure.
Or what they could even possibly do in the draft. Deion Kane's coming back.
Deion Kane, I'm more excited about than anyone you've said.
I mean, Devin Funchess to me is just, we talk about the history of fantasy football, right? And you just take what your eyes have seen you, when I have seen you, but what they've seen over all the time you've been playing, and just pay attention to what you see and follow trends, right? And take the safe bets. How many players like Devin Funchess have we seen come in, sign those 1 year deals, and you're like, oh, that's kind of a nice fit, but you know, that's good opportunity there. And then they turn that 1 year deal into like awesomeness.
Not many, man.
Almost none.
Right.
Right. Hmm? They get cut and that's the next step to irrelevance.
Yeah, absolutely.
So yeah, hook me up with the Deion Kane shares.
Definitely.
That's where I'm at all day, every day.
I'm with you there. And if this creates any sort of, you know, depressed value for Deion Kane or maybe a buying opportunity, you know, strike. So
what do you think of Jameson Crowder?
That's what I was going to ask you about. Yeah.
Going to the Jets. I like it.
I like it as well. I mean, I think him, you know, obviously going to the Jets and having Sam Darnold, a young Sam Darnold, kind of looking for as many safety blankies as he can possibly get, I think. And I think Jameson Crowder can be that. He's a nice little slot guy, very reliable hands, and I think he can be a nice little target for Sam Darnold going forward.
You know, Chris Herndon's going to be a nice pepper target there as well. Robbie Anderson and Quincy Enunwa on the outside here. Really sets them up really nice. Want to see if they bring in Le'Veon Bell, which is where everything's leaning towards.
I mean, obviously that's, you know, that's the biggest rumor out there is that they're kind of working out the deals on that.
Because he's going to take targets away.
Yeah.
But I don't think that necessarily hurts Crowder. I think it would hurt more of the outside guys, right? I think you're right. I think Crowder's a nice, sneaky slot receiver that will help out Sam Darnold. I think somebody who's supposed to have been fantasy relevant now for the last couple of years – but has just disappeared there in Washington.
I mean, think of Adam Gase's offense down there in Miami and think who really thrived in that offense. It was Jarvis Landry coming out, you know, out of the slot. I mean, obviously he was also a really good player and the guys on the outside weren't as reliable and really as good. So it made it a little bit more simple. So I wouldn't expect Jarvis Landry like 110 catches per year type of numbers, but you can expect that the offense will at least showcase him on a regular basis.
He's only 25. Mm-hmm. He got hurt in 2017. Last year, obviously, Alex Smith gets banged up, kind of takes away everything there in Washington after paying him, and there's just nobody really producing there.
Right.
I think Geis can open up the receiving game just a little bit out there as well. We mentioned – or not Geis. He's on the Jets. To me, I think Jameson Crowder, again, if we're going back to the history, history lessons.
Sure.
The biggest thing here to remember too is people are free agents for a reason, right? You don't see a lot of players that are free agents go out and have
success. Their team lets him go because they have the most information usually on the player. They've seen him in their building. They know all their habits. They know their work ethic, if you will.
But I'm with you with Gase's offense, the way they like to utilize Jarvis in the slot. I think Crowder's a nice upside player. Guys, like we said, like, you know, not excited about Funchess. Not excited about Adam Humphreys going to Tennessee. You know, I'm not overly excited about, we've talked about Mariota before, not overly excited about Humphreys in Tennessee.
No, me neither. But get back to Jameson Crowder for just a second. I said it a few podcasts ago. I don't know that Adam Gase and Robbie Anderson are going to be best of friends and a really great match.
I don't think Robbie Anderson's there long at all.
You know what I mean?
No.
Obviously, we've seen Adam Gase turn on players that are knuckleheads pretty quickly or just didn't even act the way that he wanted them to in the locker room. So, and Robbie Anderson certainly falls into that category where he's had some off-field issues and been a little bit of a knucklehead. So I'm not sure if Adam Gase is going to be putting up with his crap for very long. So it might be Quincy Enunwa and Jameson Crowder, you know.
Chris Herndon.
And
Le'Veon Bell.
Right, a lot sooner than we think.
No, I agree with you. I'm not. Everybody else is all about Robbie Anderson. I'm not. I mean, the talent's there.
The talent is there.
But,
right.
I mean, so is Martavis Bryant's talent.
Right.
You know what I mean? Talent's been a lot of places.
Right.
But to me, I'm not willing to invest for my dynasty team. I mean, if I just have them, I have them. But I'm not investing anything in Robbie Anderson. I'm not investing. You know, I'd rather invest in a guy like Quincy Enunwa, who's super cheap, who just resigned a really good deal for good money. I'd rather invest in a guy like Jameson Crowder and take a chance there. And also just take a chance on the belief that I think Sam Darnold's going to be a really good NFL quarterback as well. I like to add I like the Jameson Crowder signer in New York. I think it's a really good fit for that system. We mentioned Adam Humphries. He goes to Tennessee, 4-year deal, $36 million. Way to have that good, like slightly above average year in Tampa Bay. You got paid. You know, what we don't mention, DeSean Jackson goes to Eagles, right?
Right.
So DeSean Jackson goes to the Eagles. Adam Humphries leaves Tampa Bay. Gives you some Justin Watson needle moving here in Tampa Bay. Huge, gigantic news for Chris Godwin.
Chris Godwin.
Somebody who we liked a lot. Chris Godwin, we mentioned these stats before. You know, over the last 2 years with DeSean Jackson there, DeSean Jackson's missed 6 games.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Godwin, those 6 games, one game he did nothing, 0-0-0 line. One game he only had one catch for 13 yards. So those 6 games, two of them, one he did nothing. I didn't look back up if he was hurt that game or what, but I mean, when he has a line of 0 targets, 0 catches, I'm assuming
something's
going on.
Right.
The one game, again, he has one catch for 13 yards. So if you take that one game that he did nothing, you take it away. For a total, he had 22 catches for 437 yards and 4 touchdowns without DeSean Jackson. If you take just the 5 games that he had and you average that out, that's 87 yards a game and 0.8 touchdowns. If you just get rid of the one game where he only had one catch in the 4 games, it equaled out to 5.5 catches per game for 106 yards and a touchdown per game.
And those are really solid numbers.
In Bruce Arians' offense, Chris Godwin's going to be the number 2 receiver, offset by the double coverage you're going to get with Mike Evans,
he's going to have,
and you're going to have
open looks.
O.J. Howard open up the middle of the field there. Mm-hmm. All right, Chris Godwin is going to eat. I'm thinking Chris Godwin, when we're looking back at Dynasty ADP, in dynasty numbers, mm-hmm. People who are going to take, you know, there's always guys that take those huge, massive leaps. I think Chris Godwin, who's already not cheap, right, is about to take a massive leap in the fantasy football relevance this year in this offense with Bruce Arians, Jameis Winston, and whatever running back they decide to bring in or draft.
Right.
I think Chris Godwin falls in the perfect category of Matt. Pay now, what seems like an overpay, reap the rewards later.
He was living in that, like, almost Kenny Golladay world, you know, where everyone was so high on him, then they're just waiting for him to bust out type of thing. So.
But everybody, I bet if you asked everybody right now, if you put a poll on Twitter, who would you rather have, Kenny Golladay or Chris Godwin? Everybody would take about 85% Kenny Golladay.
I would think so, yeah. Because, I mean, Kenny Golladay,
which is fair, is going to be the man.
He had like a
baby
mini,
Tron.
Yeah, I was going to say he had like a mini breakout, you know.
But I could see him and Godwin when it comes to fantasy points not being maybe crazy far off. Definitely if Detroit really is going to move to more of a run game, mm-hmm. out there in Detroit. Chris Godwin, 2021st.
You know how to push my buttons. I don't know.
I think it would get it done in a lot of cases.
I think it would get it done. I thought you were asking me whether I'd be willing to pay that. I'm like right on the edge of that.
Me too.
Yeah.
I try to think of like what's like where am I close at? Like,
yeah.
Obviously you're doing it if you're competing team, but I mean Chris Godwin's got the youth.
Mm-hmm.
He's got the upside. Can Chris Godwin kind of be getting in like that, like before you got in on Juju Smith.
Right. No, right? You're taking a gamble, but it could be a huge win.
And what's the floor here, though? Like, right. The floor might even be extremely low. I don't think Justin Watson's a nice. I mean, he's going to be literally the fourth option in that game, and it depends on the running back here. But Chris Godwin, you offer the 2021st, right? He ends up being wide receiver 14, 15, 16 this year, right? Obviously worth the 2021st there.
Yeah, that would definitely be worth it.
And then the only way I would – you're making that because you need a receiver help anyway. So the 2020 class is going to be loaded at running back. But you're making this move for a receiver, so that offsets that. So you can't worry about the running back help as it is. You want to build your team around quality young receivers.
Sure.
I think now is the time you could do that, because I think coming into after the end of the season's over, I don't think you're going to be able to offer that 2021st for Chris Godwin. I don't think it's going to happen in most leagues, in the majority of leagues.
No, I'm with you. His value may have gone way up. Yep.
So, you know, obviously a 19 first. Like, so if you have one. Five this year, right? So you're talking about DK Metcalf, AJ Brown territory. Who'd you rather have, Chris Godwin or AJ Brown?
It's hard to say because those guys
aren't
on the team.
You don't know where they're at. They're going to land at.
Exactly.
Okay, that's fair. But I mean, either one's a gamble.
They're definitely both gambles, man.
I'd take AJ Brown way over DK Metcalf.
So would I, and I think I'd take AJ Brown over Chris Godwin.
Depends on where he lands.
So that's why I'd be real iffy if I had the number five pick giving that away.
But I mean, that's where you're close, right? But it's close. So
I would feel a lot better if it was
1-7.
Like 7. Yeah.
Okay. So 1-7. If you have 1-7 or anything there, offer for Chris Godwin.
Sure. I'd feel a lot better doing that.
If that doesn't work, maybe you offer 2021st. I'm just saying, I'm okay with it.
Okay.
If you need receiver help, I'm saying now's the time, Matt, because that stock needle is going up. This is Amazon, 1998,
ooh.
Right? Apple, 19-something.
Get in while you can.
This is Browns, 2017.
What?
Not anymore. You want to know why? Because we have a fantasy football offense.
What?
Let's talk about some tight ends, Matt.
Devontae Parker, I wanted to mention.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about him. Me too.
So two-year deal, it looks like, back there with
max
Miami.
Max $13
million. Yeah.
And listen, I know hook, line, and sinker, but Gase is gone. And I'm sorry, Devontae Parker is my Brokeback Mountain. I can't quit him.
That's fine. And I feel like with Gase gone, this is almost like him getting a fresh start on a new team. Do you know what I mean? But it's at the same facility. It just
kind of like Odell Beckham.
Because, I mean, they're going to be getting a new quarterback. We all know Tannehill's out
there. Tyrod Taylor.
Right. And then it's a whole new coaching staff. So I think this is clean slate, fresh start for him. And I think that's something that a player like Devontae Parker has needed probably for about 2 years.
Only 25 years old.
He's only 25 years old. He's got crazy measurables.
80-inch wingspan.
Physicality is there.
Had really good hands at Louisville.
Right. He was so buried in the doghouse there in Miami. He just could not get out of it. And I'm glad that he's going to get a fresh start. I didn't care where it was at. It just so happens to be in Miami. So a lot of people maybe won't see it as a fresh start. I personally do.
Yeah, me too. And now he can, like, leisurely show all those pictures of Gase's wife, the nude pictures he's got of Gase's wife on his phone to anybody he wants now, because now it doesn't matter.
That's clearly what happened.
Yeah.
How else would he be that far in the doghouse?
No, yeah. That's a well-known fact, right? So it's not like it's a secret or anything. So, again, Devontae Parker, way cheaper than anybody else.
Way cheaper. I mean,
I'd give
talk
up a
about
2019 third for Devontae Parker if I can get him for that, right?
100%. Yeah. Right. Definitely. What,
Matt, 211?
211.
Well, we mentioned who we were talking about earlier, that the 211. Oh, Mike Davis.
Oh, I'd give 211 for Devontae Parker. I think Devontae Parker's a better player.
Oh, man.
I know that he's produced less.
I feel like we're on the Price is Right show. Like, where can I get you to? 2-7?
I just fell off. I just fell off. Nope. I fell off.
You know that little mountain guy that goes up?
The mountain guy fell off.
You guessed him.
Yep. You went too high, man.
I think I would invest in Devontae Parker, too. Again, he's somebody that I had extremely high on my dynasty rankings in his rookie year. Has done nothing but made me look like a fool since then. But at 25, in the same spot, new offense, fresh start, I am willing to give Devontae another chance. I can't quit him, Matt. I can't quit him.
And
I'm not
going
to be
okay.
Alone in a mountain with a tent with him, but I still have feelings.
I still have some feelings, too, and I tried to bury them so deep that I didn't think that they'd ever come back up to the surface. But
Waka, waka, waka.
It turns out, really, I hated Adam Gase more than anything. So he's gone.
Straight googly eyes.
Let's just see what googly eyes, without googly eyes, what Devontae Parker can do.
All right, let's talk about some tight ends here real quick. Baltimore signed them all. We're good to go.
All right, perfect.
They signed Nick Boyle to a 3-year, $18 million deal because he's the best blocking tight end. But I mentioned that before, why they want to bring in Ingram, they want to be able to run the ball more.
I was going
to
say, it makes perfect sense. Boyle is the blocking tight end. All they're going to be able to do is run the ball.
He's an extra tackle.
Lamar Jackson can't throw the ball. Have you seen that guy throw the ball? It looks like me throwing left-handed.
Or
you right-handed.
I am right-handed.
Just wounded ducks coming out of that guy's hand. I mean, like, seriously, 50% of his passes are just wobblers, man.
Yeah, they're going to run the ball a lot.
They're going to run the ball.
Mark Ingram's a fin there well. Mark Ingram's is going to be a nice safety net.
Go ahead. Yeah, he definitely is.
Hayden Hurst.
Obviously.
We said Mark Andrews is better coming out of the draft than that. So,
better fantasy option anyway. I mean, I don't know that he can be a better tight end. But
we mentioned all the Cincinnati tight ends signed, right? You got CJ Uzomah for 3 years, $18 million. He re-signed with the Bengals,
right,
which is a nice good fit for him, which means Tyler Eifert might be out of there then, possibly with the Bengals. But CJ Uzomah showed that he was like okay. Like, if you need a low-end tight end or a backup tight end, I mean, he was viable. They're in the same offense now as well. And then we also see that who's the other one we mentioned?
The one guy that I wanted, Croft. Croft signed with Buffalo for basically the same deal. All three of those guys, Uzomah, Croft, and Boyd, all had almost identical deals, like 3 years around $18 million.
Not Jesse James.
That's why I brought that up. Because
only 24 years old.
24-year-old Jesse James switches over from Pittsburgh, signs a deal, 4-year deal, $28.5 million.
Mucho dinero.
With the Detroit Lions. What does that tell you? Because that doesn't tell me that they're looking at him just as a blocking specialist, because he would be making around the same amount as these other guys, but he isn't. He's making, you know, $4 million more or something, $5 million more.
It's just a little out because, I mean, he's a big, almost 6'6", lumbering tight end who can catch.
Right.
But, I mean,
they've said they want to get the tight end into the offense, too.
I know they do. And I know it's Patricia now, and they had Gronk. So, it changes it. It's just Matt Stafford struggled so much with the tight end position.
He's had guys that have gone other places and looked better.
Yeah, so like that makes me a little bit nervous. But the money's here. James is younger. If he can get a little bit more fluid, it could be a real nice sneaky spot. Again, but you can't say, okay, he's a red zone guy when you got a guy like Kenny Galladay who's 6'4". You know, mm-hmm. You got Marvin Jones there as well. They bring in a guy. Danny Amendola as your slot receiver this year. We didn't even mention him because it's not even worth mentioning that much. So it's intriguing. If you have Jesse James, I'm intrigued. And I'm happy to have him as a backup to see where it goes. I think he's going to fall into the category of, you know, CJ Uzomah for the Bengals when CJ Uzomah is doing well. Or Jesse James on the Steelers when Jesse James in that short period of time was the man. Wide receiver, like 9-10 occasionally. Unfortunately, though, I think it might drop a little bit because I think there's a lot of tight ends this year that are going to get a boost back up into relevance. Guys like Evan Ingram. I think the tight ends coming to the league are going to be a little bit more relevant. Guys like Noah Fant, guys like TJ Hockenson, possibly Irv Smith in the right system. I think three rookies I'm intrigued with. I think a guy like Mike Gesicki is going to take another big step forward this year. I think Mark Andrews is going to take another step forward this year. Goddard might become a little bit relevant. Not to mention the top guys we already have out there. Jared Cookson signed somewhere else. I would love to see him go back to Oakland. So for me, Jesse James, I think this is a really good sign-in for Jesse James. I think it falls more in the category he helps his NFL team more than he helps your dynasty team. I'm intrigued, but I'm not overly excited. If anybody offered me anything at all for him, like in a tight end premium league, just because they thought, hey, same thing you said, they want to get the tight end involved. They see the contract. I'm selling, right? I just don't think it's going to be anything where he's not going to help you win a championship.
We've never seen Jesse James run out on the field and be like, that is the look of an all-around athletic pass-catching tight end
who can also block.
Right. He's just a little stiff and lumbering.
But he's 24. So there's, I mean, tight ends do take time to develop, but now he's got to go to a whole new system. I mean, he's playing in a dome now. I'm intrigued. But it's just more of a hold than anything else. I'm not buying. I would sell, like I said just now, but I mean, I guess it's worth the hold to see, right?
I think I'm at more of a hold for me. Like, if I had him, I'd hold him.
I'm not with that.
I'm not going to run out and grab him.
Okay, yeah, I get out with that.
I'm not going to chase him. I'm not going to overpay for this guy. But I think if I have him, I'm intrigued. I want to see if this investment's finally going to pay off.
We pretty much hit on everybody, right? So
I
far,
think so, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So today's, you know, start off as one of the worst days ever because I got $10,000 stolen from me. But it ended up as one of the best days ever because my Cleveland Browns traded for Odell Beckham. And I see these tweets out there. Oh, we got America's team now. No. I don't want bandwagon fans to jump on my Browns. I saw all of you laughing at me. That's right. I was the ugly kid in the corner with braces and a gimp and a lisp, and everybody laughed at me, and now I'm a supermodel, and everybody wants to date me, and I just won $1 billion, and everybody wants a piece of me, and you can't have it, all right? Stay away. We don't need you. We're the Cleveland Browns. And, of course, you like us. We're beautiful now. We're Super Bowl contenders. We have a legit fantasy football team. We're rolling out a fantasy football team, Matt. If your starting lineup was Nick Chubb, Baker Mayfield, David Njoku, Jarvis Landry, and Odell Beckham, you're like, I think I could win the league this year, right? That's right.
We don't need you
on the bandwagon. You have your own team, all right? Root for them. Oh, the Browns are my second favorite team now. You don't have second favorite teams, all right?
It's either the favorite or the everyone else.
Yeah. Okay. You're a Giants fan? Yeah, you're sad. But you know what? You stick through it and you hope David Gettleman gets fired and you bring in Sashi Brown to do the explode there. All right? You got a bad team? Listen, I had a bad team. And look at me today. The happiest, beautiful model billionaire in the world now. All right?
Braces are gone.
Browns are on the up. It's been a great day for me. Free agency. It was a little flustered there. I probably didn't get everything out. I got a little bit too excited before the podcast. I exerted a lot of energy. But just know, Matt and I are very happy today.
Woohoo!
And going forward. And Matt, August can't get here soon enough.
True statement.
And anybody I've offered Browns tickets to, I rescind that invitation because these tickets are just way too valuable. How many years I gave my Browns tickets away. I still went to the games, but like I brought people with me and nobody paid me for a ticket.
Yeah, I lost a bet to you and you had to give me the ticket in order for me to go. That was part of me losing.
Who did you bet?
Remember me and you bet the Willie Snead bet lost to you.
Yeah, I knew that.
And if I lost, I had to go to a Browns game with you and you gave me the ticket to go with you.
You think people still like Willie Snead?
I hope not.
People still like Kenny Stills for some reason.
Really?
Yeah. Like a lot of people are like, oh, this is the year that Kenny Stills will come on. Like, I'm like, when does that ever happen?
I have no idea.
Either you're great like Odell Beckham and Jarvis Landry and Baker Mayfield, or you're not.
And he's not.
What a day, Matt.
Flashers.
What a day. We'll be back next week, hopefully talking about where Le'Veon Bell's playing, where Tevin Coleman's playing, where Golden Tate is playing, mm-hmm. where Mark Ingram is playing.
A lot of big names still out there. I would have thought a lot of this would have got moving, but I think a lot of the running backs specifically were getting bogged down by the Le'Veon Bell stuff.
I think Le'Veon's really taking them on. Tevin Coleman's really intriguing me. I would love to see Tevin Coleman in Tampa Bay.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, I'd like to see him go there. I think they might go the rookie round out there. I want to see where TJ Yeldon ends up. That's really intriguing to me.
He's very intriguing, and because he catches passes. I think he's a little bit underrated.
Yeah, I would have liked to see, like, instead of Carlos Hyde going to Kansas City, TJ Yeldon would have been real nice out there. I think Beck Davis is a big winner out there for me. But other running backs, that's who I am, like, really intrigued with. Obviously, other receivers here, we still got some guys. Tyrell Williams, where is he going to end up? Giants need a receiver now. We mentioned Golden Tate. Randall Cobb in a right situation. Michael Crabtree in a right situation. Does Breshad Perriman now leave Cleveland because he wants out of the contract out there? Nobody else really moves a needle for me out of the free agents, but we'll talk about some of those guys. And then we're also going to get ready to get into the rookies, quarterbacks first. I want to do one more episode. I would love to do, like, do you think we save it for the summer? Do you want to do a dynasty startup show? like we do a dynasty startup draft, different scenarios? Or do you just want to save that for the summer after we do our rookie content?
Well, I don't know. We'll talk. We'll figure that out in a little bit. I don't know.
Because we'll have to talk about some. I don't want. Here's the thing. I don't want to jump into rookie quarterbacks next week, as we've been watching tape. Intrigued by. I'm intrigued by Drew Lock. You're not. I'm intrigued by Tyree Jackson. You like Finley,
right? All true statements. I mean, obviously, you know, Finley's got a little bit of an arm issue.
Save it for the podcast. We'll get into all right? it. Yep. So maybe we get into 2019 rookie class QBs next week, but we'll probably see that for probably most likely 2 weeks from now.
Yep.
And there's still a good chance. I know I mentioned before, but I had to get a logo made for the last Nerd Standing leagues opening up. And I'll probably do a special podcast this week. I know I said I'd do it last week, but we had to get a logo made.
Because we're official. You got to make stuff look official.
Yeah. It's got to look legit. Right. But that's it. So we'll be back next week. I can finally sit down and sit here and scroll through Twitter and look at all this stuff and just like stuff. I did see a lot of tweets come through congratulating us as Browns fans. So we appreciate you guys. It does make me – I love the Browns as much as I love anything in life. That's not even me being facetious.
No, that's a true statement.
So it's a very good day for me. Not because I don't think a receiver changes everything, but it really does. A player like of his caliber really solidifies his team. And in my eyes, not even being sarcastic or anything like that, I think it gives the Browns a legit shot to go to the Super Bowl because that's how good that offense is going to be. Obviously, you've got to play defense there, but when you have Myles Garrett and that defensive line, Denzel Ward and those linebackers, it's going to be feasible here. So I personally am very excited, but listen, we got a long way to go. And more importantly, we got a lot of rookie breakdown to do. For us, NFL draft's not important this year because we don't have a first-round pick. Who needs it? We drafted Odell. But we got to break down these rookies, see where they go. Very intriguing class here. Don't like the running backs. Like the receivers. Like some of the tight ends. I think tight ends class is top-heavy, though, there. We're going to start off with the quarterbacks, go into the running backs. We got a lot of receivers to talk about this year, Matt. It's probably going to be three shows minimum on the receivers.
It's a big-time wide receiver draft.
And then we got the tight ends to go down. And then after the NFL draft, we kind of got to reset and kind of go through those rankings again. If you want to check out our dynasty rankings, our way too early, but our initial dynasty rankings, they're up on dynastynerds.com. Just click on our 2019 rankings. I don't think we have Preston Williams on there, but we'll get a man on there. You got to make mistakes. We're podcast hosts. We're not perfect.
It's the first time through.
Now that we're getting peace.
We got a lot of honing to do.
Yeah, a lot of honing to do. Got to move. I was already.
And plus, it's only a top 70 list. There's going to be a lot of movement.
So we got our top 70 list. And so here's the thing when you do rankings, most people don't realize. As soon as you get done with your rankings and then you actually sit down and look at your list, you want to change your list again.
Yeah, immediately.
Big news on our rankings, too. Word is. Somebody ordered a logo possibly for our rankings too. Big problem with our rankings was that we were having server issues. Apparently, they couldn't handle
it. It's always the server.
Our rankings are going to be so sweet and have so much information, our server couldn't handle it.
Booyah.
Wait till you see those bad boys too. Those are coming soon. Nerd Herd memberships are coming real soon, which are going to give you extra podcasts, more in depth rankings, stuff like that as well. We're going to have so much to talk about here with the next couple weeks. In the meantime, we'll be back next week.
Adios.
Ready, set,
thanks for listening to the Dynasty Nerds Fantasy Football Podcast. Make sure to check us out at dynastynerds.com for up-to-date Dynasty insight. And follow us on Twitter @DynastyNerds.